Praise God. What we've been talking about the last few weeks, just a series we've entitled, Whatever Things Are True. And this is a familiar part of Scripture. Why don't you look on your sheet there? We won't take time to turn. A familiar verse of Scripture, but we're focusing on one part of it. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9 says, Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. New Living Translation of verse 8 says, Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true. An honorable, right, pure, holy, admirable, think about things that are excellent, worthy of praise. And we focus on the first part of that verse in the New King James says, whatever things are true. And then to meditate on those things. In the New Living Translation says, fix your thoughts on what is true. And we've spent some time here the last few weeks talking about the fact, stopping right there and asking yourself when you have a thought, when you see, you hear a concept, when you hear a philosophy, when you hear a report, ask yourself, is it true? Because that'll save you a ton of heartache right there. You have a thought come in about somebody not liking you, or maybe they think this, or maybe they're doing something behind your back. You could spend 3 days worrying about that, and it's not even true. You might hear somebody's philosophy on how to do something in life, or somebody's approach to dieting or exercise or whatever. Well, you know, you guys know as well as I do, those abound. But you have to ask yourself, are they true? Because sometimes when you're young, you look at and somebody comes out with this new greatest thing, and a person can be quick to say, okay, well, this is it. I got this book, so now I know how to do X because this is the authority. Well, is it? We have to ask ourselves, because you could spend 5 years of your life dedicated to something and a way of doing things, and only to find out it's not working. It's not the right thing. And then 15 years later, they prove, well, actually, that's not the way to do it. It's actually 180 degrees the opposite way. And actually, you were hurting yourself the whole time doing that. Well, I don't want to wait. I don't have enough. I have one life to live. You do. I don't have time to try everything. So how are we going to find out what is true and not? Well, number one, the Word, the principles in the Word. Number two, the Spirit of God. Quickening you for you. Just because some diet works for somebody else does not mean it works for you. Amen. Amen. Just because some exercise program is the way somebody did such and such does not mean it's the right thing for you. And then you get into all kinds of there's a lot of things that are sold as fact today that just they're not facts, they're opinion. And so when we have things come into our lives, whatever way, whether somebody tells us, whether we see it on the news or the internet or whatever source, or we have maybe you read a book. You can read books in school. They're not necessarily bad, but you have to ask yourself, what direction is this person coming from? Because you can have thoughts about, you read something even in school or in studying, or maybe there's something at work, and you could have thoughts about, well, what does that mean for my life and the way I've been living? And you got to back up and say, well, wait a minute, where's this person coming from? What is their view? Are they coming at it from the Bible? Are they a godly person? Because you can have it, things can sound logical, but be flat wrong. Because the logic it's based on pillars that aren't true to begin with. If you start with a shaky foundation and you build on it, if you're looking at it from up above and you haven't looked at what the underlying truth, if you assume these first things are true and now build on it, it can seem like it's reasonable to build on it. But wait a minute, what are those first principles? Are they true? If they were true, then it makes sense the next steps you're taking. But back up, are those first things true? Because if you pull those things out, now the whole thing falls down. And there's a lot of that today, that people say, well, X and Y, these are true, so this means this. Yeah, but wait a minute. If X and Y contradict what God said, forget it. I don't care how logical it sounds. Does it contradict the word, number one, which we'll get into that a little more. But we've spent some time, look on your sheet here for the sake of review. We'll go over a few of these scriptures and then move on. John 8, verse 44 says, this is Jesus, he's talking to the religious leaders. Here he says, you are of your father the devil, and your desires and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So we've talked about that there is an adversary. His name is Satan, and he is a liar. He is a deceiver. That the Bible clearly states he is the father of lies. There is no truth in him. That means whatever he takes, he twists. On the other hand, there is no falsehood in God. So Satan, he's against God, he hates God, and he twists things. Revelation 12:9, we read some other scriptures in Revelation. But it says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So that great dragon, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, he deceives the whole world. This is what he does. He's a deceiver. And we read where he's going to be locked up for 1,000 years and he's going to be let go. Why would you ever let him go? I don't know. I mean, those are things to come. But the thing is, we read it, when he gets let go, he immediately goes to deceive the nations again. He did not change. He's never going to change. He got out and he's going to go right back to what? Deceiving. So that's what he does. So he's doing that now, all over the world. There is deception in this world. I don't mean everybody is talking directly to Satan. That's deceived. He's been around the whole time men have been around. And he sowed things. He started this in the Garden of Eden, and we went over that. He's a liar. He brought deception into the earth, and he's continued. He prompts men and sows seeds of thought and sows things that would impugn God and question God and theories and reasonings. And this has been around, this has been happening for thousands of years. You know, you may be in a family and you've been made, maybe you're, I mean, we're all from a family, but the family may have traditions. And you've been doing the same thing for 1,000 years. That doesn't mean it's right. You hear what I'm saying? Just because you've been doing it for 1,000 years, and our family does this, somewhere up the chain, maybe somebody got off and listened to something. And now people just replicate it. Again, the pillars. Well, we have to go back and say, well, I know Dad and Mom and Uncle Joe and everybody's always done this, but wait a minute. I'm seeing something that contradicts this in the Word. Wait a minute. So is that true? We know there is falsehood in the world, and we know it's being pushed today. It has been for thousands of years. But it says here, the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world, this is what he does. We read these definitions. Deceives means to, in the Strong's Concordance, means to cause to roam from safety, truth, or virtue. It means to cause to go astray, to deceive, to err, to seduce, to wander, to be out of the way. So deceive means to cause you to go off from safety, from truth, from virtue, to go astray, to be seduced, to wander. But this is what the deceiver's doing. He's trying to get people to wander. What? From truth, from light, from reality, from God. Get them to go over here and believe this is truth. And you have whole segments of the world's population that believe, they don't believe Jesus is the Christ. They don't believe Jesus exists. They don't believe God exists. You pick your thing. They don't believe what the Bible would teach, but that's absolutely what they've accepted. Well, that's exactly what the deceiver does. Get people to wander. And that's what deception is. It means to cause to accept as true something that is false, what is false or valid, invalid. So something's not true, but somebody, if they're deceived, has taken something that is false and now believes it's true. Now, you can be in different areas in that, and you know, there's parts in our lives, probably all of us, I would say, where our understanding is being enlightened. We're renewing our mind according to the Word, but there are certain things, and this is how growth occurs, when we renew our minds to the Word, and we start to exchange things that we've accepted somewhere down the way that were actually not true, and we replace it with truth, which is what the Word of God teaches, which is light and truth. It's God's ways of doing things. Quickly, we read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Look on your sheet there. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. It says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. That's Satan. He is the God of this age. He is the God of this world. He's not the God of the Christian. The Christian has been redeemed, but he is the God of this world. Until he's taken out of the way, he will continue. But it says, he has blinded people who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So people, by design of Satan, they're in a haze. They're drunk, if you will, like we talked about. They're deceived. They don't realize it. And if we're not careful, we all have blind spots. That's not a bad confession. It's just the truth. And that's the process of renewing our mind. But there are people, if we're not careful, we can be caught up with just the way this world does things. And it's just so fast. You can be caught up with thing after thing after thing after thing after thing. Your mind's occupied with all this stuff, keeping you from what God really would have you to do, keeping you from the truly important things in this life. But Satan blinds people. It's, you know, like a mist. Just keeps them busy and distracted, just like we talked about, wandering, seduced by stuff. It doesn't have to be flat evil stuff. In fact, most people won't succumb to that. Some people will. You know, they're flat out, they're doing stuff that's criminal or completely just hideous. But a lot of people are just succumbed with, if he can get us just to be off and be occupied with things that are seem okay, but they're taking way too much of our time and we don't realize it, you still waste your time. If he can get somebody to spend 50 years of their life just off here playing with this and ignoring God, he's good with that. Because you're not doing anything to move the kingdom of God forward. You're not influencing your children. You're not influencing the people around you. You're not helping fulfill what God would call you to do. And he'll do whatever he can get. Right? Now, if he can get somebody to complete worship him and do that, he's got those people too. But it's not as many as those people that are just more in a haze, caught up with what everybody else is doing. And then we read last week in Ephesians. Let's turn over to Ephesians quick, and then we'll get going forward here. Ephesians 4. I really believe God helped us to see some things. That message isn't quite up yet, but when it is, that I would listen to that. Listen, they're all good, but God really helped us to see some things, I believe, here. Ephesians 4:17. It says, this I say, therefore, in testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. So we're supposed to be different. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Notice that in verse 17 it says, therefore, I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. That means their minds are focused on something that it shouldn't be focused on. Yep. Futile just means worthless, useless. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened. That's like blinded. If you're blind, you can't see anything. Everything's dark, right? But he's saying the rest of the Gentiles are walking like this, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. What's alienating them from the life of God? The darkness of mind. They're blinded. The God of this age has different things that if we take the bait, again, I'm not talking about stuff that's flat evil necessarily, but it will distract you. But it will get you, what? Cause you to wander. Cause you to just be off what you ought to be doing. Not valuing the things we ought to value. But we're not supposed to walk like that, like the rest of the Gentiles walk. It says, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. We touched on this. What's ignorance? It's not knowing. I know that sometimes that's used as a derogatory term, and that's when somebody's using it like that, they're saying you're ignorant. That means you ought to know some things and you don't. But the fact is we're all ignorant in here of different areas. You know, you probably don't know all every little part of every science or engineering or law. You're ignorant of some things, and so am I, right? I mean, if anybody was standing up to say, I know all things about all things, well, maybe we have enough different discussion after that. Because there's no one with the amount of information and knowledge that is accumulating. I mean, just it's exponential. Right? So we're ignorant. But here, they're ignorant of what is true. It says, because of the, why are they alienated from the life of God? Because they don't know. Why? Because they've been distracted. Because they bought a lie. They're over here. The life of God's here. The truth is here. And people are over here and thinking this is life. But they're alienated from true life, which is the life of God. And so because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, didn't we just read that the God of this age, he blinds? The blindness. You don't see. You know, Amazing Grace? Once I was blind, but now I see. I don't, you know, all the time, and we all can relate to this. You know, for growing in God, there was times, I mean, it could have been a month ago, it could have been last year, it could have been 5 years ago, but you look at yourself and go, man, I thought like that. And you can look back at a situation and say, there was nothing different that really happened in my circumstances. I just could see things I didn't see before. So I started acting different. I changed my reaction to things. I thought something else was the problem, and I realized I was the problem. That's not a fun thing, but it's a good thing. But I don't think it makes it less painful when you realize I thought that other person had it wrong. It was me. And if it's your family, and you were blaming it, say, this person, why don't they do this? And then you realize, I was seeing that wrong. Nothing had to change on their part. It was me. That's humbling. But that's, every one of us has had an experience like that where you can, I mean, I know for myself, I look back 10 years and I understand what certain things I was doing. I'm not saying I was off in the weeds, just doing real bad stuff, but I look at the way I approached things 15 years ago. I think, wow, I didn't see that. I didn't see certain things. And I'm sure I'll look back at 2016, Jim, you know, like in 2030 and go, wow. I really thought that. But right now, I'm doing the best I know how to do. Going forward, letting God show me step by step. If we're going with God, that's what you can do. And thank God he doesn't just dump it all on us at once and say, this is everything that is wrong with you. And see, we just probably just forget it. Take me to heaven now. I'm done. But it's just a little bit at a time, you know, and it's, you ever thought, you know, you're doing pretty well, and then you see this, that's the way God does it. He brings you up a level, then he says, doing awesome. Did you look over here? What about this thing over here? I didn't see that. You know, that, you betcha, I've been doing that for 20 years. Okay, I'll work on that, and then you feel good about yourself, and God's so gracious and so merciful and so patient. You start to do well there, and good job, buddy, you're doing well. Did you see this over here? Wow,
And then this process continues. You go and you do that and you say, God, I did that. I'm doing awesome. You feel really good about yourself. And then same thing. Well, what about this? And he doesn't do it in a condescending way. Thank God he doesn't. If anybody had the right to just lay it all out and tell us where we really are, he does, but he doesn't. How much does that tell us about the way we ought to behave with other people? Because we're not so... Sometimes we get there and we understand some stuff, and then we see somebody else that's doing the same thing we were doing 10 years ago, but we're real quick to say, hey, don't you see this? Why don't you change? And it took us 5 years to change that. But we see somebody and you know we want to tell them they need to change now, and we got 10 other things just like that in our lives right now. So we ought to sow mercy and grace and love. That doesn't mean there's not a right and a wrong. There absolutely is. But we ought to approach it the way God does. And that's one step at a time. He gets us to where we need to go one step at a time, and he knows the right way. You know, sometimes we think we got to straighten somebody out now. And the fact is, they can't hear what you're about to tell them. They don't see it. It might be right. It might be exactly what they need, but they won't receive it. They won't understand it. And so you throwing it in their face won't help one bit. God goes at it, and we ought to, as God, ask, should I say anything? What should I say, if anything? If I should say something, show me what you would say that actually they would hear. And that would help so much. Because that's what God does with us. He knows what he needs to push on. Because we all have areas that we are working through, that we have blind spots. But we ought to know that the light of the Word will show those up, and as long as we walk with him, things will get clearer and clearer. Now I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians 11 and get into what I really want to touch on today. But I believe we're ready to go forward. 2 Corinthians 11. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? It's amazing how you can read the same verses over time. You could hear some of the same messages, and you hear them 15 times, and the 16th time, light goes on. These words here are so rich. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Says, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear thus somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Verse 3 says, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now we read several weeks ago in Genesis where God told Adam, don't you eat of the fruit. And then Eve was created. And evidently Adam filled her in, told her what God had said. So that when in chapter 3, in Genesis, when the serpent came to Eve, when Satan came to Eve and said, you know, what about that fruit? She said, God said, we shouldn't eat it or we'll die. And what was his response? You won't die. He came back. Let's just look at it real quick. Hold your finger in 2 Corinthians. Go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verse 1, all the way, it's the third page of my Bible. Well, third page of the actual words, the rest of it is all prelude. Verse 1 to chapter 3, Genesis says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" Verse 5, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." So see, he came and questioned what God has said, and her first reaction was exactly what God said. "No, we're not supposed to eat it. We'll die." And he came back and questioned and said, "You won't die, for God knows that you're going to become wise," and so forth. Then she reconsidered and she followed. And this, you know, we touched on this several weeks ago, I think the first message. But I believe if she would have stayed right there, "No, we'll die. God said we'll die." And if she had come back, "No, but you won't die, and this is why. No, God said we'll die." "Yeah, but you don't understand." "But I don't care if I don't understand it. God said it. I'm sticking with what God said." That's impenetrable. You can reason all day long with why, how, but if you just stay with what God said, you can't be moved. "Yeah, but you haven't heard the latest study about such and such." "Yeah, but God said this." And don't move. See, it's like just battering armor. It's looking for chinks in the armor. And this is what Satan does. He doesn't just necessarily hit head on. He will. If that doesn't work, he'll back up, hit it from a different angle, and back up and hit it from a different angle, and back up and try to come down on top. And he's probing. He's trying to get you off being centered up on what God said. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 there, and look at that verse. It says, "But I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted." What is corruption? When a mind is corrupted, it was pure. It was on target. But corruption is when it becomes muddy, becomes wrong. It's changed. And you can see that very clearly here. He said, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. Well, nobody said he was stupid. He's been around for a long time. He is crafty. He's tricky. And he doesn't have just one trick. And he knows men. He knows men better than they know themselves. He's seen men. You talk about personality tests, he knows. He doesn't have to have you take a personality test before he knows. He can see you coming a mile away. And he knows who your parents were. And he knows who their parents were. And he knows why you believe what you believe. He's not stupid. And you try to match wits with him, you're going to get creamed. You're going to come back at him with, "Well, I read such and such a book." He saw the person that wrote that book. He might have had something to do with that book.
That's right.
He was around before most of the books that we know about were ever written. Or all the books that we know about, right? He knows where the origin of all that stuff. He knows when it came into the earth. Because he probably had something to do with putting it in. Talk about movements. He's been around for every one of them. He knows who started them. He knows why. And he knows what you don't know. He can know exactly. He knows exactly, and he knows the truth. He knows God. He knows what the Word says, but he chose to rebel. And he knows exactly what is true and what is not true. And he can know what the truth is. And he can know that you don't quite know something about the truth. And so he will bring a falsehood to you. That sounds good to you because you don't know, but he knows you don't know, and he knows that's why it's going to sound good, but he knows it's false. You know, this is like some seasoned debater, let's say 40, 50 years old, and taking, and you know, and then going up against a middle school kid that just took their first debate class, think they're, you know, confident and know some stuff. That guy knows what this other kid doesn't know, and they're going to get creamed if he lets them have it, right? Well, that's not even a fair comparison to what we're talking about. Satan's been around for millennia, and we've been around for what, a few decades? And half of that, we were just growing up. So he knows, he comes to you, he knows what you don't know, he knows where you got your ideas, and if we come back at him trying to reason, he has an answer for every reasoning, and he can amp it up really quickly. Well, you think, you know, well, you come back at him what you think is a good logical explanation, he'll just throw a wrench in that and twist it. Well, would you ever think about that? I didn't think about that. What about that? Well, now I found my answer. You come back with that answer. Well, yeah, but what about this? Go scouring, you know, trying to find the answer, and then he comes back. Well, what about this? And he'll keep you going just in circles like this. If you try to take him on that ground, we'll get destroyed every time. You can't match wits with him. Now, don't get me wrong, he's defeated. That is not to glorify him. But as far as raw intellectual power, we are no match. And we have to know that. Because this is another area where he deceives people. Gets them to think they're so smart. And he knows exactly where they're wrong and the stuff that he's been feeding them to think they're so smart, that they're too smart to believe into a God. That's priceless. That somebody, that the devil who knows God and rebelled against him gets one of God's creation to think they're smart enough to believe that the Creator doesn't exist and they're being lied to by the very one that hates that God that he knows absolutely exists. It's priceless. It's the truth, though. That's part of his deception. Well, you're so educated, you won't listen to certain things that would be as simple as the Bible. That's a deception in itself. And all the questioning around, well, what about this and that? It plays. You have to know. We should not shut our brains off. We ought to use our brains. But you have to know, you are when you get into over-intellectualizing things and purely in that realm and don't talk about spiritual things and don't talk about the Word of God, you are on the enemy's home field. He plays there very well. And so he has all these twisting answers and what about and this and what about the Bible, this and this and this. And it just swirling to where people's minds, they get confused. Which is exactly what Paul is talking about here when he's given reference to Eve. He says, I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That you would be corrupted, your mind would be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Now, what is that word? I think that word probably means, I mean, brings to our mind somebody that's, you know, not quite strong intellectually. That's not what the word means. Simplicity here means singleness. It's the opposite of duplicity. It's single-minded, focused. He's saying, don't be corrupted from the single-mindedness, the focus that you have in Christ. Be corrupted, what? To go off into other things. Does that sound like deceive? Does that sound like wander? Does that sound like seduce? It's the same thing. Eve was centered up and said, we're not supposed to eat it. But what he tried to do? Get her to wander from that. Get her to go over here. That's a simple way of looking at it. I'll tell you the more complex. See, it's not that you'll die. It's that God knows you're going to know and be wise like him. So it's really, it's more complicated than that. That's the way he works. See, you're too simple. You're ignorant. You don't really know. Let me show you and expand your mind. That's the way Satan works. Well, no, but I believe God. God, that's a relative, you know, what is God? Isn't God could be in all of us? I mean, lots of people have believed in a God, and all kinds of people think, have their own concept of God, and you need to educate yourself about all this so that you can really come to your own decision about what is there a God and different ideas about it. That's crafty. That's exactly trying to take you away from there is a God. I know him. Jesus died for us. He is the Savior of the world. Whatever the Word of God teaches, to stay centered up on that. That's simplicity. You want to call me simple for that? Go right ahead. But it also means focused, singleness. Just, I am about this and this only. You're not going to get me to push off. Before we go further in that, duplicity. Simplicity is the opposite of duplicity. Duplicity means contradictory double-mindedness of thought, speech, or action, especially the belying of one's true intentions by deceptive words or action. I'll read that again. It means contradictory doubleness of thought, of speech, or of action, especially the belying of one's true intentions by deceptive words or action. Does that sound like Satan? Just crafty, swirly, smoke and mirrors. Think about this, but what about this? The quality or state of being double or twofold. See, if Satan can get you, this goes in what we've talked about several weeks ago and had a series on doubt on Wednesday nights. This goes right in with that, because Satan, if he can get you to doubt God. James talks about not being double-minded. The double-minded person will not receive anything from God. Wavering, going over here and over here. That's Satan loves that. You won't be solid. Well, what about this and this, and there's this guy that says this and this guy? Well, you won't be solid. You'll just be confused. So you won't push back. You won't come back when he throws you something. You won't say no the word. And we'll get into this. This is where we're going, but we're building a foundation. You won't come back with the word because you're not sure if the word's true. Because you had something sewed in your mind. I don't know about the Bible. So, Bible says such and such. Well, I don't know. You're not going to come back and hit it like this because you're not single. You're double or triple or quadruple. You're swirling. You're not convinced. It's not hard for Satan to push somebody over when they're teetering like that. But if you're solid, you're pushing at, you're single, you're focused, he cannot deal with that. And I believe that's where we're going, but you can see it very clearly with Eve. She may have not been able to match his intellect, but she didn't have to. God already told her what she needed to know. And if she would have stayed with what she needed to know and what God said, she doesn't have to worry about all this stuff. She just has to know what God told her. That's it. Yeah, but no buts. There's no buts. I believe what God told me. He wouldn't lie to me. He's always been faithful. So I believe what he told me. Yeah, but no buts. That pushes, I start going over here and wondering. I'm not saying you stay open as far as what the Word of God says. That's how your mind is going to be renewed and you're going to come up. But if somebody is trying to build something to take away from the Word, you have to push, but you cannot afford, and you will not be strong in faith and strong in God's plan for your life if you're constantly entertaining everything else. Because maybe
There's something you missed. Maybe there's something more you need to know. You need to hook up with what God is doing. That's when we were talking about in the offering. You hook up with who God has hooked you up with, because He knows where you're at. He knows what you need. He knows where you're going. And if you'll hook up with where He is taking you, and you know the venues and the company and the people He is taking you with, you will have the clarity coming from the Word of God and the Spirit of God to bring you up in your understanding according to the Word. And you won't get pushed off. Satan loves to pick people off. But man, I've seen it in my own life just over and over. When I made the decision, and I was born again at an early age. My parents, they were born and raised Catholic. And in the charismatic move in the 70s, they were born again and spirit-filled in the Catholic Church. But eventually they moved on. And then they went to a spirit-filled Lutheran church, and of all things, and there was Brother Hagin's books were on the back of the wall. That's how they started getting familiar with some of these things. And I grew up in churches that were pastored by people that were familiar with what we would call word of faith and charismatic things, and really just a renewal of what's always been there in the Word, back to the early church. But, you know, when I went to college, I wasn't as solid as I should have been for a while, but I made the decision, I'm going to hook up with where I need to hook up with. And I did. And from that point forward, I grew and I kept growing, and my mind was renewed to the Word of God, and things that needed to be changed in my thinking, just that constant just washing of the Word and the Spirit of God. Just if you stay with what the Word is saying and stay there, there's growth. Your eyes, the eyes of your understanding are being enlightened, and you're seeing truths. That's why Satan loves to divide so much, because he tries to stop that process. What's he after? He's after the Word and the enlightenment of our hearts and our understanding to the Word of God, which gives us greater awareness of the true things in life. Like I said, if he can get us distracted and deceived and off in the corner, he will. We can waste decades of our life like that. But when we're hooked up solidly with his plan for our life and with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, we give him the avenue, the opportunity to strip these things away, these blind spots. And we get aware. We become more aware of tactics. And you begin to see how to resist certain things, because you're more aware of the Word. You're more aware of the truth. So you're more aware of what would contradict the Word and contradict the truth. You start to see things more clearly that, wait a minute, I know somebody says a certain opinion, philosophy, doctrine, and three scriptures pop to your mind that contradict it. So you won't go down that way then. You'll say, wait a minute, I know there's a million people following after this, but it's not right. Something on the inside tells me it's not right, and I see in the Word it's not right. Unless you reconcile that, you stay away from it, because we know that these things, this is a tactic. But simplicity. Look at 2 Corinthians 1. Go back, just flip back a few chapters. Praise you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 1:12. It says, for our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity. And the margin of my Bible even says right here, the opposite of duplicity. And godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly toward you. Notice that. that we conducted ourselves in the world with simplicity. You could read with singleness, with focus, and then sincerity. Godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom. We have to know, and we read some of it in other places, that there is wisdom that is not from God. But it can sound good if we don't know what the Word of God says. It sounds good. It's self-reinforcing until you pull the basis out from under it and you realize it's just circular logic. It's based on something false to begin with. But there is fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. Simplicity. And in this day and age, we pride ourselves on being complex. Yeah. Let's just focus just a minute on this. Where I want to spend a little bit more time on this. And this is really what I had in my heart for today. The simplicity, singleness, focus in our day and age, that brings to mind Luddite. You know what Luddite is? That's somebody that doesn't embrace certain technologies. It's like somebody that for the sake of not wanting to go ahead, that, you know, they won't embrace the current technologies. That's a term that people use. Now, some people have real reasons not to, but then it's this derogatory thing that you won't go forward. But simplicity, you know, people, well, you're not up to the times. You're old-fashioned. Well, let me ask you a question. Right there, we have an example. The worldview of a lot of people that have been duped is that we're at the pinnacle of human civilization right now. Now, that foundation right there, if you believe that, then you believe we're constantly growing in our ways to deal with human problems and the human condition. Now, I didn't say technology isn't growing. It is. But when you look at, if you think we're living the longest we've ever lived, if you think this is the best that humans have ever been, then you will, by logic, think that certain improvements, so-called, are the natural way of things, and you will be open to think the new and improved in ways of doing things, that people are always coming up with new and better, and that's the actual state because we're at the pinnacle. So a year from now, we're further. And 3 years from now, we're further. So as things come out, people that have this mentality are quick to say, oh, such and such study has proved that this is the way to eat now, so I'll go that way. And we're supposed to treat our bodies this way, and really, all this old wisdom is wrong. This is right. You see, but that all stems from the fact that we think we're going up. Now, if you come from the biblical point of view that God created mankind and the first humans lived, Adam and Eve lived in a world without a curse, it didn't look like what we're talking about, what we see here. And there was no death. And Adam lived over 900 years. You know, and Methuselah lived 969 years. And there was, they started here. And they were told by God things to do. They didn't have it written. God himself told them how to deal with some things on the earth, and they passed that wisdom down to their children, and there were children that would not believe God. You know, Cain, the first murder, there was branches of those children that went off and despised God from the beginning, but there was a godly way. And so, you know, we start to fall from that pinnacle and go down to where there's a flood. And then after that, it deeply goes down massively to where the highest you see is 120. Or, you know, in that range that people live. That's not the pinnacle. We may live longer than what they did in the Dark Ages, but that wasn't the pinnacle. That was a low point. We're coming back up. But we're not at the pinnacle. But if you come from that way, which is clearly what the Bible teaches, then when somebody said, well, this is a new way of doing something and it contradicts the word, you'll throw it out. You'll say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? This is the new? That is not truth.
I'm not going down that way. This other has been tested and was delivered by God Almighty, who made the human body and ought to know what it can do and can't do. This other thing is based on some things that people obviously haven't found out certain things, and not to be derogatory, but studies change all the time, don't they? So we just have to be conscious of that. The ways we handle our money. Good night. I mean, just look at the current, economical condition in this country. People don't know what's going to happen. They don't have any way of knowing, you know, what you should invest in and not invest in. And there's general wisdom that would say, well, this is what you do. This is how you save for college. This is where you put your money. But how many of them, and I'm not talking against any of that, what I am saying is we have to be conscious of the fact that not all those things are true, that they are somebody's theories. And let me ask you the question, when they're saying these things, how many of them, the first thing they say is, you ought to be led by God, you ought to bring the tithe to God, that you ought to give to Him, and then you determine these other things. How many of them are saying that? If they're not saying that, what are they based on? So there is a fleshly wisdom that this is what we think, but there is a God wisdom that God from the beginning has passed down principles that were codified, yes, like in the law, in different things, but that was not when they got introduced. And so when we say, well, what are you doing and what are you doing with your money? Well, we as Christians, we ought to say, what does the Bible say? With our children, there's always new studies of how psychologists, and I'm not disparaging psychologists, I'm saying there are new studies about how we should raise children and what's good for them and what's not. And then there are certain ideas that are just old-fashioned. But if certain new things contradict what the Word says, and the quote-unquote old-fashioned thing lines up with the Word, then what are we going to do? But some people are, well, I don't want to be simple. What does simple mean? It means focused. Single-minded. We ought to listen to what the Word says on any given subject and make that our final authority. Simplicity, Satan is looking to get people out of being what we would say simple. Now that can be used as a derogatory term. You're just simple. Simple and saved and healed and have a good marriage, and have good kids. I mean, you could go down the list. I want what God has for us. I'm not talking about me personally. I'm talking, but in general, that we ought to say, yeah. What about taking time off? We've talked about this. I believe we're going to get back into that series we had, because we didn't finish it up, about seek first the kingdom of God. We just got into the holidays. We're going to get back there, and we're going to sew some things up. I believe we'll talk about tithing and things. But we did talk about time off. We did talk about the Sabbath, which is in the Bible. We live under a new covenant, but that was instituted at creation. The Bible says, as God created the heavens and earth in 6 days, and then rested the seventh. What does the world tell you? Well, I don't care if the world... I was reading some time ago about some guy who was a higher up in a technical organization. And he had, quote-unquote, trained his body to go with 4 hours of sleep and engineered his body. See, if you have the mentality that your body has evolved and it's going to be further 300, 400,000 years from now because humans are evolving, you'll buy something that you can change certain things. I didn't say you can't take care of it, but if you realize, wait a minute, God created this thing and He told us how to take care of it, you won't fall for certain ideas that this is the new way to do something. Now, people can do certain things, take care of their bodies different ways, but I'm just telling you, you overwork, you push your body past a certain point. God told us to take time off, to rest Now, he had to take people, they were in the old covenant, he had to tell them and say, you don't touch anything. They're not spirit renewed. They couldn't be led by the Spirit. They had to have rules and regulations. But just because we're not under the law does not mean that all goes out the window. It means, what's it replaced by? Being led by the Spirit of God on the inside, which won't contradict the Word. But we have people say, well, no, that's just old culture. We work 7 days a week. Okay. Where'd you get that? Where'd that come from? Well, you know, this new studies. Studies based on what? And then look at how much disease and how much stress and how much brokenness there is in the world. We just can't understand why all these diseases have spiked. People not obeying God, will not listen to God, don't do it His way, just put other things above God so that they're not taking care of what they have. But what is that based? That seems, somebody said, well, that's just simple. That's just, you know, that's an old way of doing stuff. That was maybe an agricultural way of doing. That doesn't hold up if you look at what the Word says. Amen. I would much rather, we just have to understand there is a pull in this world to just be busy, to be complex, to be connected. And we have to understand that some of those ideas, we can't be seduced. I'm not saying you go back, get all clothes that were, you know, don't go forward with anything that can help you in technology or anything. We have to be led on what are the important things and not, and be conscious that this world is pulling, being pulled, and it's being pulled away from God. Our families, that the ideas in this world will pull families apart. It's no coincidence that the divorce rate is so high. That families are being ripped apart. But we're busier than ever with all the, you know, games and activities and certain job requirements, and we have to be discerning and understand that there is a force that's trying to pull us away from truth and away from God and away from simplicity in all things. And when we see what is coming down the pike as an accepted truth, this is what you do with your money. It's common wisdom. Common to whom? To who? Who is that common to? Is that common to the way God would put down things? This is the way you do your family now. Common to who? What did God say about it? With our children. With all these things. Hallelujah. God wants us. Life is at its core. It's simple. I know. We pride ourselves. We're a complex society. These problems. We deal with complex issues. At their core, they're really not that complex. If you could cut through it with the Word and say, well, you're not doing this, you're not doing this, you won't put God first, you won't put your spouse where they need to be, you won't put your children where they need to be, and you have these problems. Yeah, but it's more complicated. No, it's not really more complicated than that. It's not. It's not more complicated than that. That's a lie. That's today the devil trying to say, no, it's so much. You have to consider all that. Who said you have to consider all of it? I know that the world feels complex, but that's because people aren't listening to God. Hallelujah. I know I'm beating this point, but I believe this is so ingrained into our society that we have to be aware that these things that are pulling on us, that we feel like we have to do so many times, are not what God is requiring us of us and not leading us to. And we need to wake up sometimes and say, wait, that's not true. That pillar that's not based on the Word. This is trying to make it complex when really I just need to rest. Well, I need to believe God for my healing. No, you need to take a day off. I just don't know what's going on with my finances. What about putting God first and letting Him bless and direct you with the rest?
It's not, well, but we don't, you wouldn't really give to that, to other people. See, people would think, they've twisted it, Satan has twisted it to where people, they think churches are trying to get your money, you wouldn't want to give that. It is absolutely opposite. Well, you know, I just don't know what's going on with my spouse. Well, how much time do you spend with your spouse? Well, we're busy. Busy with what? Too busy to be with your spouse? That's a problem. I just don't know what's going on with my kids. I mean, well, did you talk to them? Well, no, but we're busy. I mean, I have them in all these activities. Who said you're supposed to be in all those? Well, everybody does it. And people are getting ripped apart. Well, you know, but we have to. They need this to go forward. They need all this additional training in school so they can get a good job. Said who? Who are you relying on to provide for you? Your own, I mean, yeah, get the education you should, but do it at the direction of the Lord. Because there's fear in this world. There's fear of not being taken care of for the Christian. That's a done deal. God said He would never leave us nor forsake us. He's fed people with ravens before. If He has to do it again, He will. I'm serious. We don't have anything to be worried about. So who said we're supposed to do all these things? Well, I got to be with it. Who said? I have to do all these things as a business owner. Who said? You know what? In this day and age, just a business with people that will keep their word, will be where they're said they would be, will be fair regardless and give a good quote. Your business will blow up if you can do that. It absolutely will. I don't care how flashy something is. I don't go places, and most people do not go. You'll find out real quick if the website doesn't back up what the content is. Got a really cool website, but this guy doesn't know. He does not keep his word. He doesn't do what he said he would do. I'm not going there. Then there can be a guy that, you know, I'm not saying you don't do certain things as a business, but you don't put the cart before the horse. Guy has no problem, has not promoted certain areas, but does exactly what he says, always charges a fair price, is hardworking, can trust him. If he says something extra has to be done, can trust him. That person will never lack for work. Period. That's old-fashioned. It's truth. All right, we've gone long enough, but hallelujah. I believe we were supposed to hit some of these things.